So the Lord brought me to a verse last night that was confirmed this morning. And I'm going to start, this is Psalm 27. I'll start in verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain and even path. Because of my enemies, those who lie in wait for me. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me. They breathe out cruelty and violence. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord.
That's it?
You want to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm back. Being here all night. Oh, thank you, Lord. So, while we were in worship and praise, I believe I'm supposed to release something to the body. And it comes from a desire to see us all fully equipped. I've heard many people preach and teach after they've gone through a trial. And the trial has passed, and now they're speaking from that position. I think it's helpful to hear, both for the body and myself, what it looks like in the midst of the trial. Okay? So you all know what's happening in the business. And there's a word of the Lord that came to us and has been confirmed. Stand still and see the salvation of your Lord. You just heard there, be of good courage. So I guess I should say, if you are not going through any kind of a trial or difficulty right now, and if all the ones you've gone through before have been no problem, clear sailing, you can just go to sleep, okay? But otherwise, I really believe, I haven't prepared any notes for this, so you can see, I like to prepare notes. So I believe the Lord's gonna say something special that's going to hit home. And I encourage you to write it down to, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you through this, to take note of it, because the enemy will come and try to steal it from you. And then you'll be there later tonight or tomorrow when you need it, and you won't have it. So my recording secretary is over here. When the word Lord came to us and said, stand still and see the salvation of your God, I was struggling. Okay? And from a battle position, do we need a pen or paper right now?
I don't
have a pen. Anyone have any extra paper?
Actually, I do have a pen.
Okay. So when you are in a battle, the Lord does not want us scurrying about and running for our lives, as it were. He wants you, first of all, to hold ground, and secondly, to take ground. If we are running away from the battle, or we're hiding from the battle, or we are cowering from the battle, then we cannot really hold that ground, and we will be hurt. We are called to be overcomers. And I am concerned that I think that a lot of Christians, when the battle comes, are not thinking about overcoming, but just plain survival. If I can only make it, okay? And I relate to this because on my calendar I have Miracle Week. And at the beginning of this week, I'm like, okay, T minus or M minus five, you know? But that's not our position. Mm-mm. So Ann and I take what we call strategy walks during the day at the facility. And I'm arguing, how can I stand still and see the salvation of my God when I don't know what I'm standing on? You have to know on what you're standing. And the only thing that I'm aware of that cannot fail is the Word of God. My feelings can fail. My thoughts of the past, my memories, all kinds of things can fail. But the Word of God can never fail. Why? Because if the Word of God were to fail, everything would instantaneously disappear. Because He holds our very molecules together. So walking through the facility, I'm standing in. So we have to build the foundation on what we're standing on what we know. So I encourage you, if you're in the midst of a trial or going to a trial, and that means everybody, because you're either coming out of one or going into one, it seems. First of all, search your heart and ask the Holy Spirit for one of the things that if I were to say, okay, Brent, okay, Peggy, what do you know? What would you stake your life on that you know? So I started with Ann here. I know God loves me. Now I am building a solid foundation on what I'm going to stand on, and I am going to fight to the death over that position that I'm taking. Okay? So number one, God loves me. And this is my position, yours will be different. We also need to go back and find out when the Lord spoke a word to you and it was confirmed, what was that word? Did we take that and tuck it in the back of the Bible or in the bureau dresser drawer or anything like that? Or is it right here where we can speak it? Because when our Savior was tempted in the desert, what did He do? It is written. And that is the Word of God. So He was quoting scripture from the Old Testament, and that is, it is written. And while the enemy tried to twist those things and deceive like the enemy does and is, he could not respond when the Word of God was used. What's the second thing that we know? Walking down the hallway, the second thing was, I know, Jeremiah 29:11, that He has a purpose and a plan for me. The Word of God says it. So when the enemy gets on your back saying you're worthless, attacks your self-accusations or self-worth and all that, you can say, you know what? Back off. Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, it is written that He knows me and He has a plan for me, and the plan and thoughts that He has for me is to prosper me, to bless me, not to hurt me. And so build the foundation for where you're going to hold your position and stand. If people are coming after you, you just heard Psalms 27, starting verse 11, 12, that if there's adversaries, it is written that your adversaries will not conquer you. The Lord will not permit that. It is written that, you know, and in Psalms there's a lot of where David was being persecuted and chased for his life by Saul. And then also, and this wasn't in my thoughts before, but it's also very important that as we do this, we do not somehow in our soul take these things and become pompous or arrogant or presumptuous or non-submissive. And the Lord's teaching me the difference between submission and obedience. And Pastor and I have had these conversations about obedience. It's easy to obey. Just tell me what to do, I'll do it. But submission is a placement of the heart. obedience, it's easy for me at least to do something than to actually submit my heart. Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever cried out, Lord, you know, what do you want from me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I've got mine higher than everybody else. Okay. I have spoken that, prayed that, yelled that, screamed that almost my entire life and never got an answer. I got an answer. He said, your will. Okay. But I can give you my obedience. Isn't that enough? Mm-hmm. Well, that only makes you a servant or slave. It doesn't allow you to become a son. Never mind a friend. So in that stance that we're taking, we have to be submitted to his will. Has to be an overarching truth around the whole thing. Because otherwise we're using his word as an idol, not his word for what it is. Is everybody following me on that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like when we pray, are we praying just for what we want or for his will? So I encourage you to build the foundation for where you're going to stand, because you don't want to be in a battle and all of a sudden realize you have a broken leg or your right foot is firmly planted on quicksand because that thing that you put there wasn't really truth. And whatever we think doesn't matter, it's what his word says.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our firm foundation, and that is what we can hold on to, and that is what we can stand on.
Mm-hmm. We want a copy.
Don't have a copy.
Yeah. He's kind of cute, right?
Yep.
Well, I think the Holy Ghost is kind of cute. Because this morning, this is what he said to me. This is early in the morning. And I quoted, God has a plan, and in time, he reveals himself, in time, his time. But then he told me to write this one down in red so I wouldn't miss it on the page, okay? And it's a question. What does it mean to walk on water, son? So automatically, you know, I think I've got about 20 answers, but not one of them fits. And so he brought me back to walking on water in my own life. So I'd like to take you to the scripture first. So if you'll come with me to the book of Matthew. And chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to take a look. In verse 15, he feeds 5,000 men. And I love the way he does it. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat. Privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. Multiples of towns, a lot of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So automatically, that gives you a little bit of the background. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Watch Jesus now. Did you ever get caught off guard? Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Yeah, right. There goes the brains, amen? Figuring out, well, what do we got? We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They answered, bring them here to me. That gives you a direction. Whatever you've got, you can bring to him. Whatever headache you've got, whatever heartache you've got, whatever nightmare you've got, you can bring it to him. He said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, guess what he does? Father, I don't know how we're going to feed all these people. Of all things to do, he gives thanks. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Notice again, satisfied, and they all ate. Okay? How do you end this shit? And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides the women, and it says children. Add it up. Then, verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Has he got a plan?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right on. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, okay? Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Now, it's not frozen. Did you think of that? It's not frozen. It's not ice. How's he doing it? See, if you and I are dependent on the natural realm for our future, we're not going to make it. If you depend on your own abilities to go to work in the morning, get a retirement plan, and try to live your life like you have been, as a believer, you're not going to make it. Because God's going to allow things to happen to you that won't make any sense. They'll be illogical, and you won't be able to go through the test without him. You're going to have to bring him whatever headaches you've got. Walking on the lake, when the disciples saw him, now notice again, it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. What are they doing looking for him? How come they're not taking a snooze?
There's a storm.
Yeah, right on. They were terrified. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. First reaction, always fear. 99% of the humanity, including the church, bows to fear. And it doesn't come from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you power, love, and a sound mind. So what are you doing bowing to fear? Is it because you don't know what's next? That's because you're keeping yourself in charge. I love his response. It's a ghost. My great-granddaughter was making my wife watch Ghostbusters last night. Yeah, she slept over and they were watching Ghostbusters, and I said, I'm not joining. I'm going to bed. But they were watching Ghostbusters. Did you ever watch that movie? I mean, it had no hope. And the busters get busted. It's a ghost, they said. And he cried out in fear. And they cried out in fear. Did you hear that? Cried out in fear. 21. But immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Take courage. How do you do that?
Sure.
By choice. I'm going to choose to see the problem through no matter what, because I'm not alone. God is with me.
Amen.
I've got his promises to take me through, and I will make it through. No matter what the outcome, I will make it through.
Amen.
Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, I love it. If that word isn't in there, you're in trouble. If it's you. So he's not sure. He's anxious. He's fearful. But he's got guts. And I respect him for that. Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and I could say, are you jealous? One time I gave this message and I was talking about if I were the other 11, I would have had my hand on his shirt tail saying, no way, you're not going alone. But none of the others had the courage. Not one of the others stepped out of the boat. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, how do you see wind? You see the fruits of the wind. He was afraid, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me! That's your emergency prayer. Lord, save me! It doesn't say 3 weeks later, you know. I'll think about it for a while and I'll let you, you know, get a phone call or a text.
Time to learn to swim.
Huh?
No, it's time to learn to swim.
Right. Too late to learn because you're going to be sinking. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. But then look at what he said. You of little faith. In other words, his missing link was faith. The substance of things hoped for was missing. Or it got shifted when he bowed to fear. When you and I bow to fear, our future's in jeopardy. And you have to cry out, please, help me, Lord. Then he said, the other trigger. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Did you ever wonder why doubts come into your mind?
Notice that Jesus doesn't even compliment him. You mean the only one to get out of the boat? No way.
He doesn't try to build him up.
Right.
He wants to show him the cause of the issues. You have little faith, so he needed what?
Faith.
He also needed to stop the doubts. Yeah. How do the doubts come in? They come in with thoughts. Yes, Anne?
Because your mind isn't full. You're not full enough of undoubts.
Yes. And sometimes without that foundation that your brother taught you on, you're on shaky ground because you have nothing to hold on to. You've got to be able to respond. It is written the correct way. My God is my God, and he's on the job, and he loves me, and he's going to do awesome things for me because of his love for me. And if I see everything else fade away, I know his love for me will carry me through.
Amen.
And you've got to speak it. If you just think it, I've got news for you. There's no creation. You say, well, wait a minute. There's no creation in my thought life? You're absolutely right. If you read Genesis, it says God spoke. Jesus is the Word. You need to speak to yourself sometimes. And you need to say the Word out loud to convince yourself. Because the doubts will come in as thoughts. You have a choice when they're in there. Oh, I feel so afraid. Okay? Did you ever get a phone call when somebody's got the sniffles and they say, I'm afraid I'm coming down with a flu. And the other one says, me too. And now you're both in trouble with the flu. One should be able to say, hold the phone. The flu is coming from the darkness. You don't need to go there. Anybody remember that President Nixon, I think it was, gave a free shots for the swine flu back in the 80s, early 80s? You're not, you guys are too young. Yeah. My dad was living at the time. We go to the doctor. The doctor says, Paul, I think you're ready for a swine flu. My father says, listen, first of all, I took care of swine, and you're not giving me no swine flu. I don't want it. It doesn't come from God. And if you think you want it, you're going to have it. He said, but the president said, he says, he can keep them all. Did Nixon know there were some pigs in Washington? Could be. Think about it. Why did you doubt? Why do we doubt? Because those are seeds of fear. And if you submit to them, you become a slave. Romans 6:16 says, to whom you submit to, you become a slave to. Romans 6, verse 16. And when they, meaning Jesus and Peter, climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Why do we have to walk on water? Sometimes stable ground can get pretty shaky. And what I'm trying to make you aware of is this. It'll continue being shaky if you don't know the one who can reach out for you when you're starting to sink. There were times in my life that I had to cry out to Jesus. And in a public arena, it wasn't out loud. But in my heart, I just cry out, Jesus, Jesus, please, please help me. Because I couldn't do on my own what needed to be done. And there are many in this house of prayer who have witnessed some of the challenges in my life. And I'm not looking back to say, oh, poor me. I felt like the poor me at the time. But it gives me now an ability to have compassion. Jesus knew what it was like to be hungry when he fed those 5,000 men, plus the kids and mamas. He didn't want them to go without. He blessed it and broke it. Why did he bless it and broke it? Why did he give thanks for it? Because was there really enough?
No.
No. But when he did give thanks, there was multiplication that took place. Did you ever have a multiplication of favor and grace that was needed in your life?
Yes.
Then give thanks. Mm-hmm. Give thanks for what you don't understand. So close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You gave me a great example.
You gave me a great example.
When you had five little loaves.
When you had five little loaves.
And a couple of small fish.
And a couple of small fish.
You gave thanks.
You gave thanks.
There are things in my life right now.
There are things in my life right now.
That don't make sense.
That don't make sense.
I see Jesus walking on the water.
I see Jesus walking on the water.
And Peter got the guts to walk out.
Peter had the guts to walk out.
I want that kind of courage.
I want that kind of courage.
And I can't produce it in myself.
And I can't produce it in myself.
But I'm going to give you thanks.
But I'm going to give you thanks.
For when I'm in a challenge space.
For when I'm in a challenge space.
I'll cry out your name.
I'll cry out your name.
And I know you'll be there to help me.
And I know you'll be there to help me.
When I see things impossible in front of me.
When I see things impossible in front of me.
I will give thanks for those impossible situations.
I will give thanks for those impossible situations.
And it may not make any sense to my brain.
And it may not make any sense to my brain.
And my emotions could be giving me a hard time.
And my emotions could be giving me a hard time.
If and when that happens.
If and when that happens.
I'll even give thanks for those.
I'll even give thanks for those.
Because they may not make any sense at the time.
Because they may not make any sense.
But after the test.
But after the test.
I'll be at peace.
I'll be at peace.
Because like Peter.
Because like Peter.
I will be able to walk away from the situation.
I'll be able to walk away from the situation.
And give thanks to God's grace.
And give thanks to God's grace.
And His favor.
And His favor.
That took me through.
That took me through.
To the other side.
To the other side.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the things that I don't understand.
For the things that I don't understand.
And sometimes I don't have to have an answer.
Sometimes I don't have to have an answer.
Because without faith.
Because without faith.
In the unseen.
In the unseen.
My Heavenly Father will not be pleased.
My Heavenly Father will not be pleased.
Because what pleases Him.
Because what pleases Him.
Is faith.
Is faith.
In His Son.
In His Son.
Taking me.
Taking me.
To the other side.
Thank you, Jesus.
No weapon.
No weapon.
Formed against me.
Formed against me.
Can prosper.
Can prosper.
Isaiah 54.
Isaiah 54.
Verse 17.
Verse 17.
No weapon.
No weapon.
Even in a courtroom.
Even in a courtroom.
Can prosper.
Can prosper.
Hallelujah. It can't get bigger.
It can't get bigger.
Because God's in control.
Because God's in control.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, you've got enough ammunition to put quite a few enemy on the run.
Praise report.
Praise report? Well, we can handle that. Good news.
I ask a prayer for Mike. This is doctor's given up his patients. And Joni called Monday.
Yeah.
And he was able to get a doctor at Riverbend, and she takes med help. Takes med help. Takes med help. Takes